Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Uncomfortable. My name's Kirk, joined by Vince, and we are so excited to talk with you today about another topic that is dear to our souls: my way or the highway. You know, everybody knows that Vince is a raging Cajun, you know, and Cajuns tend to have this mentality a lot like Italians, so it's a pretty interesting combination you've got going on there, Vince. There's got to be their way or no way at all. And, you know, I just don't see how that really works for you, brother, because trying to do your Christian walk and already by default having such a high, intense spirit to where you just want to roll your direction no matter what, how does that really work for you, my friend?
I mean, it's... let's just say it takes a lot of having to die to self.
You know what? That sounds about right.
Wow. It gets, let's just say the internal dialogue is quite lengthy sometimes. I have shared with some people sometimes that internal dialogue that happens, and I'm like, okay, sorry, this is all internal. This doesn't happen outside with other people. This is just me. So, yeah, it's not easy.
Well, as we dive into this question, you know, let's also dig into this, Vince, from the aspect of, are we really following a religious teaching or are we following Christ? I think that's really the question at play here. You know, because we can have it our way or the highway, you know, but the thing is sometimes as we're going through life, we'll hear a religious teaching someplace, right? We'll be going to church, we'll go to seminary, and let's pick on seminaries. I think this is a wonderful place to pick, because the thing is a lot of times what happens is sometimes you get people that are super intellectual that want to teach in a seminary. They're not really called to ministry, but they love to study. Or they were called to be a pastor, and they fell in love with the study of the word, and they never got to preaching the word, right? Now, it is what it is sometimes. We all sometimes have our hang-ups. But here's the thing. Sometimes because they become so in love with the learning aspect that that becomes almost like an idol to them, then because they don't necessarily understand something because they didn't spend time getting the relationship, right? The relationship with the Lord, so that Holy Spirit can enlighten their heart and give them a rhema word on the word of God as to what he's trying to tell them. They say, well, I don't understand healing. I don't see anybody getting healed today. So I've got to figure out how does this work in the gospel? And so they create an entire doctrine on why people are not getting healed in the modern world today, right? I'm picking on people at the moment. I'm trying to make everyone uncomfortable.
I see.
So then you have people that hear the teachings in seminary, right? Then they get indoctrinated because of getting all hyped up with this teaching from this teacher. And then they turn around and start preaching in the pulpits. So you end up having people that are necessarily not, I don't think they have a real bad heart. At least not most of them. Some of them, I think, are evil. Because I think some of them are extreme liberals and they want to get in there to push a liberal agenda. I'm just being honest. That's how I really do think that. Some other things on the show I may say that may not be my real view, but that is something I really do believe. I believe there are people out there that have an agenda that they try to destroy things. But at the same time, as we pursue the kingdom, we have to make sure that we're reading the word so that as we're listening to our pastor preach, right? As we as pastors are listening to other ministers preach, or as we're listening to the word being broken down by a scholar, we've got to make sure that it's not being tainted by someone's stained past because they didn't understand something or they had a bad situation happen when they were younger. And because of that situation, they've allowed their heart to be tainted in such a way that everything they read, that they read it through that tainted glass. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And sometimes that tainted glass can become a religious teaching or a religious point of view that gets inflected on those that are listening to them. And when that happens, people can just start following. They just start going with the flow because they don't really understand the Word of God themselves because they don't study it. They don't read it. They don't spend time with the Word, you know, with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit to really understand what's going on there. And at that point, you have to ask yourself, if you're only following the teaching, are you following the teaching or are you following Jesus?
That's a valid point. So I think the thing that kind of sparked my thought on this was, like I had told you, we were talking Saturday night at church, and when we were talking, I said, you know, sometimes when things just get overwhelming, they get hard, and it you've got people coming against you, and you've got things and circumstances coming against you that that just, you're like, you know, it would be so much easier if it was this, this, and this. And then you're like, I came to this realization that, you know, sometimes, although I'm sure it wouldn't be the most productive things, sometimes it seems like, again, seems like it would be easier to just follow the religious teachings than it would be to actually follow the relationship with Jesus. And so I said it like this. I said, sometimes religion seems more black and white than the teachings of Jesus, although the teachings of Jesus are very much black and white, right? It's and go the extra mile. It's the reason I said it was easier is because there's no internal, or there's less internal responsibility. All I really have to do is play the part, make it look good. I don't have to do anything other than follow the rules.
Right.
It's as long as I stay in the lane, it doesn't matter, right? What everything else is. Doesn't matter if the inside of the car is all junked up as long as I'm staying in my lane.
Really, Vince? Is that how it works, brother?
I mean, that's how it seems to be with religion a lot of times. People will, as long as they're not spilling out on other people or running into some other lane, cutting people off, nobody cares what the inside of your car looks like.
You know, that's an interesting analogy that you gave there because, you know, a lot of times we hide behind the facade that we put on with others around us. And I say the others around us, but in the reality, it's even with Jesus. And none of us really want to admit when we put that facade up so tightly that even we're trying to put that facade in front of Christ because we're saying, Jesus, I'm doing this the way I'm supposed to. Don't tell me I'm wrong.
Right.
And then when conviction comes, when the Holy Spirit says, son, you really need to look at this. I'm really trying to heal your heart from past hurts, but you've put a wall up. I need you to drop the wall so I can heal you, so I can restore you, so that I can bring new relationships in, so that I can come in and heal you in such a way that it'll be like it happened to someone else. Transform your life so that you can be effective for the work that I've called you. Now, the work could be he's called you to be a pastor. The work could be he's called you to be a cashier at Cracker Barrel. Your call could be that he's called you to be the CEO of a great corporation. Only you can, you know, well, the Lord can tell people, but generally, you really are responsible for what it is that God's called you to do. You know, right. You and I, Vince, we may have our pastors that have been told something, but the moment they release to us, you know, hey, the Lord impressed on me that you're called for X, Y, Z. Hey, they're released. They're not responsible anymore. So the weight of it weighs on me and it weighs on you, right? If someone's shared with us, hey, you're called into ministry, you're called for this, this, and this, and we fail to respond, then that responsibility is ours. So if the Lord has told you that you're supposed to be a CEO, or he's told you you're supposed to pursue to be a businessman or a businesswoman, or he's told you that you're supposed to be just a stay-at-home mom or fill in the blank, whatever it is. Maybe he's told you to be a DIY construction worker, the new Chip and Joanne on the block, right? The thing is whatever he's called you to do is for a purpose. It's for a reason. It's not without merit. You know, it's so that he can move his name on the earth in such a way that he affects the lost, trying to bring in as many people into salvation so that they're not lost to the gates of hell. Jesus right. teaches us very clearly that his kingdom comes and that his kingdom is here and it's now, right? So we need to start living like that. I'm sorry, I'm getting on a soapbox here. Kind of didn't mean to hijack this particular show for this. But, you know, he taught us that his kingdom is here. And so we need to begin to live like his kingdom is here on earth as it is in heaven, instead of saying, God, when I get to heaven, everything's going to be good. No, we're supposed to live and occupy this earth until he returns. It's not supposed to be we just sit back, relax, and hope we hold on for a good ride. No, we're supposed to be intentional with our lives. We're supposed to be purposeful with every decision we make. We're supposed to consider the word. When it says to meditate on the word, it's not some Middle Eastern or, you know, Deep East religious thing to where you're clearing your mind. No, it's actually actively considering the word of God, considering what he's saying in the word, imagining what he means by his word. Begin to put pictures in your mind about what it's saying, and then asking the Holy Spirit to continue to bring revelation to you about what's happening in his word. So we're supposed to be co-participants in this thing. Now.
Yeah, I would, it's like, as you're saying that, I'm like looking at some of this stuff and I'm going, it makes me think of Mary and Martha when Jesus came over.
Absolutely.
Right. Mary was busy about doing stuff. And I mean, Martha was about busy doing stuff, and Mary was sitting and listening to Jesus and his teachings. Martha was more focused on the outward, and Mary was more focused on the inward. And even though the teachings were basically the same, right? The biblical teaching and what Jesus was saying, those principles were still the same thing. They're being interpreted and being walked out in different manners in different ways, right? Mary understood the difference between what it meant for the opportunity that was there. And what I was trying to explain to them on Saturday, and they were being so gracious as to allow me to word vomit through it all, was that when you choose to follow Jesus instead of just religion, it requires so much more effort. It requires the you being willing to die to yourself and to put down your own way and take up his way, right? You kind of alluded to it. And actually, even when you asked the question, I mean, you're half joking about the fact with Cajun and Italian and wanting their own way over Christ's way. And although it is true that a lot of us have that and more pronounced so with certain ethnic backgrounds or geographical or cultural areas, there is, it comes with when you come to Christ and you're like, okay, I'm choosing to make you the Lord of my life and my Savior, I have to be willing to die. And sometimes taking up your cross daily is that. It's not some other fantastical, which is probably not a real word, but I just made it up. So welcome to Vince's lingo thing. It's just regular, gritty, daily things. I woke up with an attitude this morning. I got to do my best to put the attitude down. I'm having a bad day. I'm biting everybody's head off. I need to stop. Maybe I need to go apologize to some people. Maybe I didn't handle some things better. Maybe I need to get more rest. So, I mean, there's things that Jesus has that are very black and white teachings. There is no gray area. And yet it's so much harder to follow that teaching than it is the teaching of religion. Because the teaching of religion only requires the form. There is no power. And it's the power to change lives. It's the power. It's where our faith grows, it's that long suffering, it's that patience, and all that stuff comes as we're closer to him. And when he lays it out and it's black and white, it causes that, it's like, well, the word says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing into the bone and marrow. That's the difference. Jesus is addressing things that dig in deep into our souls, and it requires effort and it requires work. And I mean, he told him, how many times are you supposed to forgive? 70 times 7. Okay, so at
Oh man, come on.
491, at 491, I can let it up. I can let it go, right? I can hold it against them. Okay, that's great. But the next day, he says his mercies are new every morning. So that in the morning, we are supposed to also start as if it's a blank day, right? He's given us a blank day, so we're supposed to start all over again. So there is no 492, 493. And by the time you got to 300, you'd probably stop counting anyway, unless you're just really, really stubborn. At that point, you would stop counting. So there's that aspect of it is how much it hurts and how hard it is to walk it out sometimes.
Well, think about it. You gave the perfect example between Mary and Martha. You know, modern religion and also religion back when in Jesus's day, it said perform to be accepted, right? You had to do works, and people always were trying to do things to get where they needed to be. And the thing is Jesus says that we're accepted, that we've been made his sons, right? That we've been adopted into his household. Now, we're supposed to live in response to that grace. Did you catch that?
Say it one more time for the people in the back.
We're supposed to live in response to that grace. Because the thing is there's one way that we live, and that's just the way that we're currently doing things. Now, and here's the reality. If we're really believing what God's told us, right? Then when he teaches us something, we're going to respond to that teaching. We're going to allow his word to affect us so much that it affects our actions, the way we speak, the way we interact with others. And now I'm really going to meddle now, especially with men and women, the way we treat our spouses.
It's just rude.
It's just, but it's the reality, right? When
Right.
we let Jesus get in the middle of this thing, I mean, I'll be the first to admit there's been times when I've been even under my breath saying something. The Holy Spirit said, "Really, son?" And I'm like, "But Lord," and he's like, "There's no buts."
Guilty.
Right? He's like, "There's no buts." And the reality is when you're living for the kingdom, it's not about you. And I know that's hard, but I mean, sometimes, well, let's just be real. Almost all the time, God's pretty upfront in my face. He doesn't normally hold back with me.
No.
And I don't think he does with you either from our conversations that we've had. He seems like he's a
No.
little raw with you as well.
That's
But
it. Yep.
think about it. Jesus, he tore down and threw over tables things when he saw people doing things out of order in his own house. Why does he have to be gentle with us when he sees that there's something that's detrimental and it's going to cause problems in her own life, right? He instead wants to be an active participant in bringing us into the place to where we're supposed to be so that we can live with purpose for his kingdom. He's not interested in us being comfortable. And even though most of us, including you and me, would love to be comfortable almost every day of our life, Jesus is more concerned about us living with such intent that we've basically completely surrendered a kingdom purpose. Go ahead.
Sorry, I know you were gonna say something else, but I wanted to throw in there too the caveat that, every now and again we gotta throw in these like little kind of one-liners that just kind of help everything, right? And so when you really break down and look at the difference between the two, one is again, you're looking at works-based, which is religion, and grace-based, which is the relationship. And works-based is always more of you're trying to do something to be good enough or to earn your place or earn your faith or earn that love from God. Whereas grace-based is it's a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't do nothing about it. There's nothing that you can do that can change God's mind about how he feels about you.
Amen.
And so
I mean, and
I had to throw
Jesus,
that, I had to throw that in there.
just going a little further, he overthrew all of the religious thinking of the day. He healed on the Sabbath, which was illegal according to the Jews.
Right.
And he was a Jew. He dined with outcasts, which was very frowned upon, you know, socially. He was basically looked down on because of doing that. And he challenged the religious elites. You know, he would continuously challenge them to their face. He wouldn't even do it behind their backs. He would just tell them, just like it is. You know, to the point to where they got to the point where they wanted to kill him. And so, yeah, we want to make up all these excuses as to why X, Y, or Z doesn't fit into our religious thinking. And so now we've got to create an entire religious mindset as to why this doesn't work for me. And so it's got to be my way or the highway. But that's not what Jesus said, right?
Right.
He didn't say my way or the highway. He said, hey, I want all of my people to be prosperous. I want everybody to be brought into grace. And but fairness doesn't have to get into the middle of this thing. You know, interesting thing, and I know I've probably said this on other shows before, but in the Jewish language, the word fair doesn't exist, at least not in ancient Jewish language. But
wait, it doesn't?
Why no, not? But justice does.
So what you getting at now, Kurt? What you mean?
I'm just saying that just because things aren't fair doesn't mean it's not right. You know, because God doesn't operate in the same mindset as us. Anyway, we're going to get in the middle of the weeds on something completely different here if we're not careful. Let's try to steer this thing back to religion versus Jesus. So let's bring a little scripture into this, shall we?
Yes.
Matthew 15, 8 through 9 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Man, think about that. Jesus is saying that basically he's saying just what we're saying, that these people, they want their way or the highway. They're trying to do religion their way. They don't want to do it the way that he's called them to do it. Everything's in vain because they're doing it in their power, in their strength, in their might, and in the way that they desire it. It's all about the human rules. It's not rules that he established. It's human rules. And Jesus is not about human rules. He's about his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So John 14, 6 says, Jesus didn't say follow religion to get, excuse me, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," is what he said in John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we've got to be careful. Christ is the only way, right? He's the only path to forgiveness. He's the only path to salvation. And he's also the only path to true understanding of what it is to be saved and to be a Christian. And I'm purposely trying not to use the word religion because that we're going to get into our title again, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to tie those two together. But do you have something?
I was thinking, like, you put out that one aspect of it, and I say the whole, one of the I don't know if you'd call it the goals, but one of the effects of the relationship, I guess, as the relationship moves on to some point, it's John 15, 15. Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends." So at some point in the connection that the disciples, later the apostles, had with Jesus, it transitioned. And he now called them friends. So they weren't, in my understanding, they were not in the greatest space, some of them, even at this point when he's calling them that. I mean, Peter later denied him three times and cut off a dude's ear.
That's right.
That Jesus had to heal. So he obviously wasn't in this, like, most holy place where He was completely sanctified and never did anything wrong. He still had his issues.
He still had a couple other layers of his onion he needed to peel.
Right? I mean, even later on, Paul addresses it in, I think it's in Galatians. It says it in, I believe, in Acts, but it also mentions it in Galatians, I believe, where Paul had to call out Peter for acting a certain way. So it's not like Peter all of a sudden just stopped being Peter. Now, yes, he grew and he changed, and with the Holy Spirit, it helped him to be better every day, but he still had his issues and had his things that he had to work out until he went home to be with Jesus. So it's, but the goal is always to strive to not be under the weight or burden of something that we weren't meant to be under.
Let's ask our audience a couple questions. These questions are some pretty interesting, insightful things, and I think they could really enlighten some people. They might even make them a little uncomfortable.
That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Are you concerned with how you look more than who you love? Do you feel guilty when you miss a church service, but never think twice when you miss your time with Jesus in prayer or in reading the word? Are you so busy defending your devotional that you stop demonstrating Christ? Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I'm going to tell you a personal story on that one. I remember there was a time whenever I was in, we just graduated high school, and me and a bunch of buddies, we used to love to go to this little coffee shop in Chattanooga, Tennessee called Greyfriars. And we'd go sit out on the porch, have our coffee. They had unlimited coffee. You know, you'd go in, you'd buy your coffee cup, and you could keep going in and getting more coffee. I have no idea how they stayed in business because, man, we definitely drank our weight in that coffee most of the time. Anyway, I
That's
remember
crazy.
coming back in from being, you know, going inside to grab some more coffee. I came out, and two of my buddies were out there arguing about scripture. They were arguing so vehemently that they sounded like they were about to go to blows.
What?
I'm serious. And it was right up there on the street. So there was, it's, you gotta imagine, it's like this picnic table sitting out on the sidewalk, right? We're all sitting around this round table talking. And these two guys are getting so worked up over something that it sounds like they're about to go to, you know, to start fist fight. And I walk out and I look at them and I'm like, I don't really think they're really gonna get into a fight here. But then I looked around and I saw everybody the way they were looking at them. All the people that were passing by staring at them were looking at them like, what is wrong with these guys? Are they about to throw down? And some of them were stopping and staring. And I turned around and looked at them and said, guys, you got to stop. They said, what? We're just talking about Jesus. I'm like, no. I said, the way you're talking about it is like you're about to have a fight. No one except for the two of you and those of us at this table know that everything's good. I said, everybody on this street thinks that you are about to throw fists. I said, so what witness do you think that has for the Lord? And they sat back and was like, whoa. So how is it that we don't modify our behavior to reflect Christ instead of trying to make sure that our ideas and the way that we think about something is so important that no matter what, that we're going to push that out there?
I don't know what you're talking about. I have never, ever, ever spoken like that before to other believers in my entire life.
I have no idea if you have or not.
That is very much sarcasm, in case you don't know. That is, I, especially early on, honestly, not even early on. I would have to say it's only been within the last probably 8 years, 10 years, maybe, that I've started working to change that. Like, very more pronounced in the last five, but definitely started working on it about 10 years ago, switching that out to where, even though, and then sometimes I still flash through it because I'm a very passionate person, right? About what I believe. I have and I'll say this as kind of part of my wrap up piece to this. I have learned that, okay, I'm not going to agree with everybody on how I feel, especially believers, but as long as we can come to the important term of everything that is the gospel, and as long as that is preached and that is taught accurately, and that Jesus, we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, he did what he said he was supposed to do, and everything that the word says it about him is 100% true, and everything that the word says is true and infallible. Okay, great. I don't really care if you like green carpet in your church and they like blue carpet in their church, or this church believes in speaking in tongues and that church don't believe in speaking in tongues, or they believe that miracles were for yesterday and they believe that miracles are yet for today. I don't care. Not enough to get into an argument with you.
There you go.
It's not worth it. I don't have that kind of energy to do that. I'm more concerned with, are you actually teaching Jesus? Now, if you want to have a discussion about it, I'll be more than happy to have a discussion about it. And we could get a little passionate in our discussion. But if I'm getting into it, we're going into it with ground rules now, as opposed to just me trying to win you over.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely. I think that's one of the most critical pieces. It's not that you should never have a passionate conversation. That is not the argument here.
right.
The thing is time and place. If you're going to have a very passionate conversation that can be misunderstood, do it in a place to where you're not out in public and it's not going to cause confusion. Because otherwise, it does no benefit to the body of Christ or to Christ himself. And we don't want to do anything that's going to draw people away from the Lord and maybe even give them a bad taste, because the word says that we're supposed to be known for the love we have for one another, not for the disdain that we have for our brother's outlook on things.
Wait, we're supposed to love each other?
Yeah, man. I mean, come
Oh,
on. Get with
man.
the program here.
Psh.
All right.
I gotta love people.
Yeah. If this episode has made you uncomfortable, that's okay. The Holy Spirit often
Amen.
speaks within the discomfort, sometimes in the tension, and many, many, many times when you don't want to hear it at all. I definitely encourage you this week, and I know Vince does too, get alone with God. Ask God to get in
Amen.
the middle of your life, to strip away anything that's not from Him. It doesn't matter where it came from. It doesn't matter if it came from the show, from the pulpit, from your teacher. It doesn't matter. If it's not from Jesus, it needs to be pulled away. Now, anything the Lord shows you will always be backed up by His word. That's the way you can test it. You always test everything against the word of God. I know that's a very basic teaching, but I just need to remind everybody, everything needs to align with Scripture. So don't just follow a system. You need to follow Jesus, right? Don't just
Yes.
follow someone's teaching, follow Christ. Which means, I know it's uncomfortable, guys, but we got to get in the Word. We got to pray. We got to spend time with our Father. Because if you don't spend time with Him, you don't know His voice. That's how, when Jesus says, my sheep know my voice and they won't follow another, that's because His sheep spend time with Him. They get to know His voice. If you don't spend time with Jesus, how are you really known as one of His? You have to spend time. It doesn't have to be long hours and hours every day. But at least carve out 10, 15 minutes a day to spend time in prayer, reading of His word. And that way, He can transform your mind, renew your heart, and revitalize your spirit. Guys, until next time, stay bold, stay honest, hey, and definitely stay uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you next one.
See y'all later.